Well, congregation, count it as a blessing that we are a congregation that loves the Word of God and wouldn't countenance having anything else set before us than the Word and it summarized, perhaps, in the Catechism. And so tonight, for that benefit and blessing, let's turn to Exodus and chapter 20. Now, I mentioned to you this morning that we're beginning a short series on the Fourth Commandment. Perhaps you picked up on some of that connective theme in the songs that we have been singing this evening about creation and God's work in upholding that which He has made. And the issue of creation is the way the Fourth Commandment is put into context in Exodus 20. And Lord willing, next Sunday evening we'll take up Deuteronomy 5 and see, as we mentioned this morning, the difference there. So for tonight, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, and then we'll read together out loud for the first time, not the last, Lord's Day 38, and we have that question and answer there on page 52 in the back of our Psalter hymnal. So then to Exodus chapter 20, words we are undoubtedly very familiar with, but let's listen to them afresh and hear how the Lord would lead us to understand. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Well, thus far, dear congregation, God's perfect and glorious word, let's now turn our attention to the summary of the teaching of the Word of God as we find it in the Heidelberg Catechism. As we begin this evening to consider what is God's will for us there, let's address that very question. So page 52, question 103, what is God's will for us in the Fourth Commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that, especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Well, these things, dear congregation, the Word of God does teach, and therefore we do believe. But let's come to Him again tonight, and we should do this, and we will delight in doing this. That is, let's seek Him and His help in prayer. Oh God, now we praise You and thank You that You are merciful to Your people and that You love us. And Lord, we need to be reminded of that so that we might come in a few weeks to the ultimate reason why we ought to honor You, especially on the Lord's Day. But we also realize that Your love for us superabounds, and we need that love, oh Lord, worked out in our hearts tonight by the Spirit's work of illumination. Because You love us, Lord, enable us to understand what You say to us and give to us a desire in Jesus Christ to see these things worked out in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Fourth Commandment is probably the least well understood, probably the most disregarded, and probably the most disobeyed of the commandments. Listen now. In the practice of Christians. And that's where it becomes very pronounced in terms of how we view the action of people everywhere in terms of the commandments. We might not say that about unbelievers. That's a question we can consider. But in the church, it seems the church has the most problem with the Fourth Commandment. Now, that is especially true if we accept the Hebrew word yom, Y-O-M, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. You're going to get just a little bit of Hebrew tonight, just one word. So by the end of the sermon, you'll know what that word means. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, the Hebrew word yom means day. The other place this commandment is told to us, Deuteronomy chapter 5 at verse 12, it is also the Sabbath day, Yom. Now for tonight, we're going to stay with Exodus chapter 20 because here we learn about the Sabbath day, our Lord's day, Sunday, against the backdrop, the background of creation. God so loves us that He wisely gave to us by His command one day in the creational order of His structuring, one day to rest. Pray tonight, beloved, if I can put it this way, that all God's people will be willing to understand the privilege of that rest. And so, people of God, our challenge and our calling is to accept that God created the world with a routine of rest every seventh day. Now we'll see how that works out in the New Testament perspective, but indeed God's routine is of rest every seventh day. So God's creational structure reveals the preeminent place of the Sabbath day. God's creational structure reveals the preeminent place of the Sabbath day. We have this evening, gasp, only 3 points, which means the sermon's going to be a lot shorter, right? No, sorry. Well, first of all, then, having one day each week set aside as holy was God's plan from creation. As we probably know, there are slight differences in the presentation of the law of God as found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. We've been talking about that already. But the significance of those differences is found in the explanation for the reason of the fourth commandment. Now, we're being very careful here because we want to lay this out in clear terms. In Exodus, the reason for the Sabbath day is found in creation. Next Lord's Day evening, if the Lord is willing, the reason that will be given to us in Deuteronomy chapter 5 is redemption. And so those are fairly significant differences, and we ought to ask the question, and maybe you have for years now, why does Exodus talk creation and Deuteronomy talk redemption? We need to get a hold of that. Exodus reveals to us God's reasoning for one day of rest each seven as that cycle as to be drawn from creation itself. Notice at verse 11 of Exodus 20. It's very clear there. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Now, I would invite you for a moment this evening to turn in your Bible back to Genesis chapter 1. We're just going to do this for a minute because I think illustrating this will help us. So back to Genesis chapter 1. And if you're in Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 5. Genesis 1 and verse 5. What word do we find there? God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first yom. Same Hebrew word, the first day. Now we're building a case, so go on to chapter 1 and verse 8, Genesis chapter 1 verse 8. What do you see there? God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second, you know it now, the Hebrew word, yom, day. Now, verse 13, we get it again, yom, day. Verse 19, yom. Verse 23, yom. Verse 31, the sixth day, yom. Now go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. And God blessed the seventh yom, day. Isn't it interesting? And He made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating He had done. So what we're noticing here is the significance of creating and of days. And I want you to ask and answer this question in your own mind. In what we just read from Genesis chapter 1, tell me something you heard there about the nation of Israel. And right now you're thinking, I don't remember anything about the nation of Israel in Genesis 1. Well, that's exactly right. It's not there. Tell me something that you heard in Genesis chapter 1 about the sacrificial system, or the festivals of Israel, or the routine God gave to the covenant people, Israel, there. It's not to be found there, is it? Tell me something that we heard, I'm making a case here, in Genesis chapter 1 about the prophets rebuking the people for not upholding the Sabbath day. It's not there. Tell me something that we hear in Genesis chapter 1 about the Pharisees making mistakes about the Sabbath. It's not there, is it? Totally absent. Well, now you might say, of course, because that is Genesis 1. And we don't hear anything about Israel until we get later into the Bible, right? Right. Exactly. So that when we're thinking about Exodus chapter 20 and verses 8 through 11, and the Lord is giving through Moses these careful commands about how we practice and behave ourselves, it is not a matter of a Jewish festival, a Jewish pattern of any sort. The Sabbath day comes before all of that. Get a hold of that, dear Christians. People of God, the plan and command for a day of rest each week was inserted into the creation by God. It's creational, and we're going to see why. So since this command, rest, one day each week, is built into creation itself by God, it is easy, I'm going to submit to us, to see why that Sabbath day rest has three main blessings. Here's the next fill in the blank on your page. People of God, the three main blessings of a day, yom, of rest are physical, emotional, and spiritual. Now, other things are going to come up next Lord's Day evening when we begin to think about the Lord's Day against the backdrop of redemption. But in terms of it being set in the backdrop, the context of creation, here are the three main blessings: physical, emotional, and spiritual. Listen again, the Sabbath day command is not a Jewish ceremony. Rather, God made the world to exist in a rhythm, tick-tock, tick-tock, of days. 7 days. It has been tried by the French at the time of the French Revolution to get rid of the 7-day calendar. They said, the French did, in the time of the Revolution, a horrible, terrible time. They said, we're going to get away from 7-day cycle and we're going to try 10 days and see how that works. They didn't try it for very long because it didn't work. There's something about this structure, about this cycle, about this rhythm of 7 days that God has created. And within that rhythm, within that cycle that He has made, He has placed into it one yom of rest. Well, why? Because physical rest helps us. Remember, that's the first of the three blessings. We need physical rest. The Sabbath was made for man. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. In preparing for this sermon, I was reading a commentary. I have a few old ones, as you might be not surprised to know. It's not just that older ones are better, but it's the ones I've had for a long time. This one was really pretty old, as you're about to understand. And the commentator there was making the point in his describing of the physical benefits of an entire day of rest. He said something like this. He said, both the New York and Philadelphia streetcar companies, now you already know how old the commentary is, but it gets even better. He said, both the New York and the Philadelphia streetcar companies have come to understand that their horses eat a lot less feed and last a lot longer when they only have to work 6 days. But when the carriage companies push them for a 7-day cycle, they eat a lot more food and they die faster. Well, now that sounds kind of funny because it's so old, but it certainly makes the point, doesn't it? Physical rest is really important, and God has built it into the structure of reality. This is the world, if we will just listen to Him. Now, the second main benefit we've talked about is emotional. And boy, I don't know about you, but for me, this is certainly a time in history, an era that we're living through, that we need some emotional peace, don't we? A day that is set aside to be free from all of the burdens and the stresses and the complications, both political and economic and in terms of diseases and the infighting and the battling going on. We need those pressures set aside. One day in which our eyes are lifted up, specifically in the whole day, off of this world, if we can put it that way, and onto the glories promised and that are coming. And that leads, of course, to the issue of the spiritual benefits, doesn't it? Of how much we need to know in this life and in these days of the promises and the fulfillment of the gospel in Jesus Christ. where we don't get fixated on the overreaching going on. We don't get fixated on the power struggles going on, but we're able to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and remember His promises and delight in His salvation. And as you've heard so many times, the Lord's Day is a foretaste of eternity, isn't it? We know that. Well, people of God, then, let's learn to live as God created us, resting one entire day. So let's explore this a little bit more. Secondly, His creation balance is six full work days and one entire rest day. But we just said something, because Exodus says something that we need to sort out just a little bit. Notice what the commandment tells us here. Verse 9, Exodus chapter 20. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Well, now that's a command, isn't it? It's an acknowledgement of a command, right? That means that work, like rest, is creational. Because that's the context, that's the background of the setting here of the command of the Lord's Day. And God does not say, well, work is not creational, but I'm going to talk about the Lord's Day being creational. He says, no, work is creational. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work is drawn from the reality, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, that God worked 6 days, yom, to make, create all that is. Also, Adam worked the garden before the fall. You know that, right? Work is not the result of the entrance of sin. Work is not sinful. It's not bad in that way. Adam worked the garden before the fall into sin. And we were created in Christ Jesus. You know the rest of the verse in Ephesians 2? We were created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Oh, but Pastor, that's talking spiritual. Well, are good works to include volunteering for an organization or making a meal and bringing it to somebody's house? You see, there is wonderful dovetailing going on. But the basic matter is this. Work is creational, but so is rest. We have 6 days for labor. Work hard. Well, let's think about that. Are we hard workers? I think America has been proved to be that kind of an attitude and practice throughout its history, hasn't it? We get in there and we do what's needed to be done. We work hard. We make use of the hours of the day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But does the commandment say until you reach retirement years? Interesting, right? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work until you're 65 plus. I don't read that in the Bible. Do you? Well, that must mean something then. It must mean that we all still have some kind of work to do, don't we? What is your job, beloved, if you are 65 plus, if you are in your retirement years? Do you still have something in the name of the Lord to do? Yes, absolutely. Maybe your job is to make phone calls to church members who are in need. And so you devote a few hours in the day or a number of hours throughout the week where you make phone calls. Maybe for you it's sending cards of encouragement. Maybe it is making a meal for somebody in the congregation. Maybe it's helping babysit your grandkids or some other type of regular work that you normally do. Maybe it is volunteering at an organization that really needs help, and there are a lot of them right now. You see, work is creational. God calls us in the creation order of things to be productive. Now listen here, it becomes very important now. It is only when we work that we come to realize the blessing of a created day of rest. Which is one reason, if I might put it now kind of as an aside, which is one reason why this whole pandemic discussion has been so counterproductive for the church. Because if you remember when those times we were only at home and trying to watch something online because we couldn't gather together, did it really seem like Sunday? When you weren't out with people, when you weren't working and doing those normal things of your regular cycle of routine, you said, well, it feels strange. And that for a lot of reasons. But beloved, I say this again, it is only when we work that we come to realize the blessings of the created day of rest. The Catechism says this. What do we do on the Lord's Day? Especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly, and then comes the list. The festive day of rest. Beloved, we need to understand creation. Scientists of all type, though many of them don't acknowledge this, try to dig into the stuff of the world and outer space and inner space, trying to understand it. What they are trying to understand, though they won't say it, most of them, is creation order. So that we get the right concoction together, we can solve the problem, right? Well, what do we say about creation in terms of 7 days? What do we do with them? What has God said about them? This is what we need to grasp here. The cycle, this balance that God has placed into the world. So people of God, our conviction about the truthfulness of God's word causes us to reject how worldly powers tell us to use our week, that's the one thing, and cause us to embrace God's calendar. Now what you might notice if you're a little bit quick, if you're a little bit perceptive, what you might notice is that I just introduced the antithesis right there. In that fill in the blank you just did, we've been working only in terms of God's creation and our response to it. We just entered into a discussion about how the world wants us, the antithesis, how the world wants us to use our week. We're going to need to see more of that as we go along. We reject what the worldly powers tell us about using our week, and we embrace God's calendar. So, what is his calendar? Yom, day. Now, let's stop and think about that just a little bit more. When we examine a candidate for ministry to be allowed to enter into the ordained ministry, we ask that candidate hours worth of questions. You've heard that before. One of the questions that candidate is almost always asked is, what do you believe about the creation days? And that's a basic issue, isn't it? Do you believe that God created all things in 6 regular days? We say, yes, we do. At least I do. But that implies something, doesn't it, about a basic regular structure for all other ways the word day is used, doesn't it? For us, and we've come to experience this, sunrise to sunset for many of us constitutes the hour of a regular day, give or take. Some of us get up a little bit earlier when it's still dark. Some of the rest of us go to bed later when it's still dark or getting dark. But a day for us is not 36 hours. Nobody says, well, this has been my 36-hour, my 40-hour day. We don't say that. We understand that for us, in terms of our work and usefulness, sleep is the boundary markers for our day. Did you have a good day? Yes. Did you have a good night of sleep? Yes. Now it's the new day, right? And there, here we go. So day means something. Those working hours of the 6 working days. And that's how God made those 6 days to be used, to be engaged, to be working. Work all the day hours for those 6 days. But then what about that one day? And here's where we come into trouble in terms of the church, particularly. Let me say this very bluntly so none of us can miss what the pastor means in this part of the sermon. God has given us a Sabbath day, not hour. Yom, you see. Day. Now that means something, doesn't it? We can't play fast and loose with the Bible and say, well, I'm keeping God's command here. If I cruise into church in the morning to catch the AM service, and then I dash home to do tasks around the house, chores left over from the other 6 days, to do some schoolwork or to go out and do the shopping that I didn't get done, or to go out and catch that movie I've been trying all week to try to see and didn't get to it yet. Beloved, if God's word means 6 days of labor, regular working days, those hours, with sleep being the boundary markers, then do you see anything in the text? Please talk to me. Anything in the text that says anything differently? I assert to you, there's nothing different about day. Day is day. How has God created the world? He has created it such that we need an entire day to rest. And if we do anything differently, we're ignoring how he has created the world, and we are ignoring how he has created us. And you can't do that for long without there being negative consequences. You've heard it used to be almost, how is it put, sort of a negative comment that was meant to be a positive statement about somebody. They would say, well, he's a workaholic. That was kind of a negative phrase, which was supposed to be a backhanded compliment. Oh, he works so hard. But we've come to learn that workaholism is another idol, and it's detrimental. Well, beloved, we learn something about ourselves in terms of how we understand the Lord's day of rest. We are harming and depriving ourselves if we don't rest. People of God, we need a full day. We need a full day of physical, emotional, and spiritual rest to be God's people. And so thirdly, we remember the Sabbath day so that it might be holy. Now, the Hebrew structure, I'm not going to give you more Hebrew words, but I'm going to tell you something a little bit about the structure of these verses. The Hebrew structure of Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, makes it clear that the first word of verse 8, remember, is a command word. That's how we're supposed to apply it and understand it. It's a command word. As we're going to see next week in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, there's a different word, observe, which is also in the sense of a command. But here we are commanded to remember the Sabbath day, and that for a reason. But first, remember. Why that command? Well, at least one reason we're told to here in the text is that because God rested. Now, we can think about that in terms of his essence, of his being, of him being God. Did he really need to rest? Well, not in the same way that we do, but he has given this to us so that we might be impressed by it, so that we might remember, so that we might remember that God's creational order is 6 and 1, or now post-resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 and 6. He has set up cycles and routines of this world. He has determined reality, not man. And so work Monday through Saturday, rest on Sunday. Don't forget his pattern, because he is the creator. Remember that he gets to determine it. This day becomes for us a sanctified day. There are regular routines for this day, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, and those routines are summarized for us in the catechisms. I regularly attend the assembly to learn God's word, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, to bring Christian offerings for the poor. We'll look at those and try to understand them comprehensively, but make no mistake about it, God has given a routine and a structure even for this day of rest. We are to remember that he has said this, so that we will keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, distinct, different, set apart. And it's Sunday, not sun hour. Yom, Sunday, begins to take hold in our lives as Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, when our thinking is focused on now, who is the Creator? What has He said? Oh, I need to remember the Sabbath. It's a particular day. It's not like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's the Lord's Day. I would assert to you, as I've said already in the sermon a couple of times, the problem with the Lord's Day has a lot to do with the church. Let me put that to us in a very concrete way. The reason now, many years ago, I don't know exactly when this began happening, and it probably happened in different ways, timing in different parts of the world, the country especially. But the reason now why Walmart and Target and everybody else is wide open for businesses on Sunday is that fewer and fewer Christians saw Sunday as Sabbath. Sunday as Christian Sabbath. People of God, if we don't obey His command to keep the Sabbath day holy, we will forget His creational structure and order for a godly life. I would imagine it's true for you as it has been true for our family. Now our kids are grown and hopefully they're going to take this up. But Sunday morning was always different in our house. I'm sure that's true for you, isn't it? You wake up and you know it's Sunday. I don't do the things that I've done the rest of the week, and I do the things that are special and unique because it's the Lord's Day. Now, that's saying a lot, isn't it, that we put such emphasis on this day? That's saying a lot. Should we really be so careful about what we do or don't do on Sunday? Look at the rest of our text again, beginning at verse 10 of Exodus chapter 20. Verse 10 says this, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not. And then comes that list. You shall not do any work, neither you nor son or daughter, manservant or maidservant, animals, aliens within your gates. Why? Because God rested. And so you should not work. To be honest, we don't like thinking about things negatively. We don't like the don't do lists. But here it is. Don't do work on Sunday. Don't live in such a way that your children have to work on Sunday. Don't go out to eat or shop on Sunday, making other people work, manservants and maidservants. Animals, aliens, don't work. Why not? Because you were given 6 days to do that. And God has given to man the Sabbath to rest. Now, people of God, we need to make this a little bit tighter. People of God, any unnecessary work or secular activities on Sunday reduce and diminish God's gift to you of one entire day, yom, of rest. Now, we're going to see in the sermons to come on this short series here how to positively use the Sabbath. And we're going to get there. We need to do that. But we need to first be convinced that God is the Creator. Now, you would probably say, of course I believe God's the Creator. Well, then, does that mean as the Creator, He gets to determine the structure? He gets to determine how the world works? How it functions? You know that He created time for us and the divisions of time. There's no time to God, but He's given time to us, the structures and the divisions of it. He created each of us with our various needs, including the need for rest. And the primary question we must answer tonight, very simple question, we're going to end with this. Do we believe in the Creator and His creation? People of God, it's really this simple. People of God, we will accept the command to keep Sunday. We will accept the command to keep Sunday as a sacred day as soon as we bow to the Creator of all things, including each day. What a blessing to know. Again, as the Lord Jesus Himself said, the Sabbath was made for us. What a gift. Amen.